Carlson, according to Biden's rules, your place in society is determined by your birth. By Jeff Poor on December 5, 2020. Friday, FNC's Tucker Carlson opened his broadcast questioning motivations behind Joe Biden's picks for his cabinet and high-level staffers, some of which have been appointed in the name of diversity. Carlson criticized that form of identity politics and said questions should be asked about each individual's beliefs. Transcript as follows. Carlson: what exactly does Joe Biden believe? We've asked that question before. People who have known Joe Biden for 50 years are still asking that question. The short answer is absolutely nothing. After a lifetime of serving the Democratic Party, Joe Biden has no fixed beliefs. He can't. The party has changed too much. Joe Biden became a Democrat back when Democrats represented America's working class, wage earners, heavily Catholic in the big cities and the industrial states. Democratic voters of that era tended to be populist on economic matters. They like Social Security and Medicare, but they are basically conservative on social questions. They believed in biology. Most of them got married and went to church. That's the world Joe Biden grew up in. This Joe from Scranton, son of a coal miner schtick, is a relic from that era. Biden still whips it out occasionally at events, but only for nostalgic reasons and maybe because his memory is fading. When you get to a certain age, 1962 seems like yesterday. But in fact, it wasn't yesterday, it was a long time ago. That Democratic Party is gone. It's been extinct for decades. The modern Democratic Party no longer represents wage earners. It is now funded almost exclusively by Silicon Valley and the finance establishment, the billionaire class. Its foot soldiers don't work in factories, they are community organizers. They're members of interest groups that have coalesced around a specific race or sex or sexual orientation. None of these groups exists for the benefit of the United States. They exist only for their own benefit. Their purpose is very clear. It's to leverage our political system in order to collect as much money and as much power as they can for their own members and for their members alone. This is called identity politics. It is the most divisive possible way to run a government. No wise country allows identity politics, and for good reason. Identity politics is zero sum. No group can benefit except at the expense of other groups. In identity politics, there is no such thing as the common good. A system like that never ends well. To put it mildly. How could it end well? But in 2020, there are no options left on the left. The Democratic Party is about identity politics, and identity politics is all it's about, redistributing the spoils. So of course, Joe Biden is on board with it. Biden went on CNN yesterday to give an interview we wish we'd seen before the election. In that interview, he explained how he is choosing the people who will run our country. Watch. Begin video clip. Joe Biden, the first 8 members in the most diverse cabinet anyone in American history has ever announced. There are 3 white men, there are 3 men, there are 5 women, there are 5 people of color, 3 white people. End video clip. Carlson: so 5 women, 3 people of color, 3 whites. Sounds like a beginning of a joke that's now banned. So they all walk into a bar, one of the women goes, "You can't tell those anymore." Jokes like that are considered insensitive. Why? Because they reduce people to qualities they can't control. Not all people who look alike are alike. Stereotypes are bad. Remember? In this country, appearance is not everything. In America, you are more than your ethnicity. Life here is not determined by your DNA. That was the promise anyway. And for a time, roughly from the end of the civil rights movement to the beginning of Barack Obama's first term, that seemed to be working fairly well. We all agreed to try to drop the stereotypes and try to judge people for what they do, not on how they were born, but no longer. We've got new rules now. Rules that in fact are very old rules. They stretch back to the antebellum South and all the way to the ancient caste systems of India. According to these rules, Joe Biden's rules, your place in society is determined by your birth. Certain groups get benefits, other groups get punishments. It's as simple and as primitive as that. That's exactly what we're watching, though, of course, everyone in charge lies about it and calls it progress. The Washington Post, the personal mouthpiece who billionaire progressive Jeff Bezos applauded Biden's hiring standards just this week. Quote, "Joe Biden is building a team that looks like the people it serves, slobber the newspaper. And in fact, unintentionally, there's some truth in that. In the past 3 weeks, Joe Biden's transition team has brought on the so-called agency review teams that do look a lot like the people Joe Biden intends to serve. Who are on those teams? Well, there's Tom Sullivan, who is the international tax director at Amazon. There's Claire Gallagher. She runs global partnerships and strategic planning for Airbnb. There's Brandon Belford, a senior director at Lyft. There's Matt Olson from Uber. Other members come from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative. These are the people giving guidance to, for example, Joe Biden's new chief of staff who himself led Silicon Valley's lobbying efforts for years. So let's just say the billionaires have full representation, and they may soon have a lot more. Joe Biden apparently intends to hire a man called Patrick Gaspar. Gaspar was Barack Obama's political director. Then he was American ambassador to South Africa. Most recently though, and this tells you everything, Gaspar has been the president of the Open Society Foundations funded by George Soros. Patrick Gaspar could soon be America's labor secretary, a cabinet official. So if you're asking yourself, does a 90-year-old left-wing Hungarian financier have enough control over the way my country operates? The answer is decidedly yes. George Soros definitely has enough power now, much more power than you have for sure. In Patrick Gaspar, George Soros has found someone as radical as he is. 3 years ago, South Africa's ruling party, the African National Congress, endorsed a plan of taking land from farmers based on skin color without compensating them. They called it land reform. Neighboring Zimbabwe had already done this under its bloodthirsty lunatic leader Robert Mugabe, and probably become the single poorest country in the world and, by the way, killed a lot of people in the process. So no sane person thought or thinks this was a good idea. But Patrick Gaspar thought it was a great idea. As the former ambassador to South Africa, Gaspar wrote an op-ed in the Sunday Times endorsing this and sucking up to the criminally incompetent and corrupt ANC government. Quote, "Yes, the South African government under President Cyril Ramaphosa is talking about accelerating land reform. But in a way that seeks to balance property ownership rights guaranteed by the Constitution with the need for more equity and nurture a more broadly shared prosperity." Oh, more equity, just like in Zimbabwe. Patrick Gaspar added in many forums that anyone who disagreed with his point of view on land reform was, of course, an irredeemable racist. Gaspar later said that he found the South African Constitution superior to America's Constitution. George Soros would no doubt agree with that. Most Americans probably would not know, nor by the way would many South Africans agree with that. How many have fled that country in just the past 10 years? Patrick Gaspar doesn't care. Like George Soros, he is an ideologue. For him and for all ideologues, outcomes are far less interesting and far less important than theories. So you won't be surprised to learn that Patrick Gaspar was once himself a community organizer and that he once worked for failed New York Mayor David Dinkins, and that he remains personally close to Bill de Blasio. New York City is collapsing, but as far as Patrick Gaspar is concerned, it's collapsing for the right reasons. Maybe we need more land reform on the Upper East Side. Here's Patrick Gaspar in the streets protesting the police. Begin video clip. Patrick Gaspar, former director of the Office of Political Affairs. Earlier today, President Obama told us all that we have to make people in power uncomfortable. So I'm out here marching with a diverse group of incredible New Yorkers as we all get ready to violate curfew, as we march for peace and we march for justice. This is a powerful community of dissent that cannot be quarantined and that will not be silenced until real change arrives. Whose streets? Our streets. End video clip. Carlson, just taking on the powerful, says the man who runs George Soros's foundation. Could this moment get any more perverse? Could the lying be any more obvious? Could it be more Orwellian? It doesn't matter what you think. That man could soon be your labor secretary. Follow Jeff Poor on Twitter at Jeff_Poor.